birthday party?
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. All right, Abracadamets, I hope you're getting stuff done, son. I hope you had a fantastic New Year's. Hope it was safe, but I hope it was fun, and I hope you guys are ready to get down for 2022. We'll get past this little uptick of pandemic. Freaking Rona is showed back up a little bit, but hopefully this will be short-lived, and 2022 will be a great year for us all. Definitely. I've got some plans. My plans for 2022 is I want to be more balanced with my life. Mentally, physically, and professionally, I want all those things to be better balanced. So whatever it is that you are shooting for, I'm rooting for you, just so you know. But anyways, we got an interesting episode coming up right here. But before we get started, let's give a big shout out to the sponsors for the Abracadam Podcast. Okay. You ever get up in the middle of the night and you think you might see like a shadowy figure there in the corner of your bedroom? And then you get to looking a little closer and you're like, does he have my underwear? But then you realize it's just that big pile of dirty laundry that's been piling up in your bedroom. That's right, folks. Today's episode is brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Yes. Now, if you're anything like me, I hate doing laundry. And yes, dirty laundry can pile up. So don't hesitate to take your laundry to Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services, located at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Bob a call at 865-951-3237. Bob also offers a delivery service for anyone who's a senior citizen or homebound. Guys, doing your laundry has never been easier. All you have to do is take your big old pile of dirty clothes, drop it off, come back, and your clothes will be clean, dry, and folded and ready to go. Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Check them out today. This episode is also brought to you by The Grove Barbershop. Now, guys, I've been getting my hair cut at The Grove for a long time. And owner and operator, Jeff Hackler, is an awesome barber. And the best part is, all you have to do is just make an appointment. You go online to thegrovebarbershop.com, select your time, select the day, and then show up. You show up, everything is clean, organized, and it's just you and Jeff. He gets your hair cut, gets you looking nice, and gets you out of there in no time. So be sure to check out The Grove Barbershop, located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Jeff a call if you want to at 865-482-2210 and make your appointment at thegrovebarbershop.com. All right, Abracadamets. Now, today's guest is somebody who I've known for quite a while now, actually, a few years now. But I knew him back whenever he was traveling on the road, a roadie with bands, living that entertainment lifestyle. But since then, he has now gotten a very real job. Now he is the staffing manager for McKesson, is I believe how you pronounce it. And they are in charge with distributing the COVID-19 vaccine. So definitely a very important job these days. And in this episode, we talk about politics. We talk about race. We talk about a lot of stuff, plus the vaccine. So if any of these subjects, you know, are, you know, interesting to you, well, you're definitely going to enjoy this episode. So please sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with Ryan, a.k.a. Sevy, Sevenbergen. All right, I'm excited. We got Ryan Sevenbergen on the Abracadam Podcast today, man. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing real well, Danny, man. Great to be here with you.
All right, well, also, I'm going to go ahead and get this out of here. I'm not going to call you Ryan on this whole episode because I know you as Sevy. So this is what we're going to call you, is Sevy. But the Abracadam listeners do not know who Sevy is. So if you don't mind, will you go ahead and give yourself a little introduction for the Abracadam listeners?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Danny. My name is Ryan Sevenberg. I'm a staffing manager for McKesson and the COVID vaccine distribution project currently. I spent time with FedEx and Amazon, but before that, Danny, as you know, I was a road warrior. I was in the music business for about 10 years. Owned my own live music venue and got to travel the country with some pretty great bands. And I think that really prepared me for these crazy times, that's for sure.
Well, man, okay, definitely. I guess that could prepare you for anything. Armageddon definitely would be one of them. Okay, well, that's an interesting leap right off the bat, okay, man, because you went from music, entertainment, to now you've got like a real job.
Yeah, so. it's a good job, yeah. Yeah, actually, it's funny. I started off biology pre-med, and my sister was also pre-med. She's a double master's oncology nurse at Ohio State University, and we were kind of on the same trajectory, and I ended up moving away from that. I got into engineering. And so I did that for quite a while in automotive and telecommunications. Long story short, planes hit towers on 9/11 and the government takes back a significant amount of bandwidth. And that kind of slowed the telecommunications industry for quite a while. And so I found myself as a pretty young guy with a pretty good engineer's bank account and found an old buddy of mine, and we bought a live music venue and ran that for a while. And that's what turned into me traveling with a lot of bands that came through and just kicked off a music engineering, you know, lighting, every facet of production and sales and travel, and just had a blast with that for about 10 years.
You know, okay, so, you know, that definitely, you know, is a story of its own. I'm sure you got some great stories in those times. And but now, like I said, you've moved on. You've got this different life now.
Yeah.
And this is pretty. How did this gig, this job, you know, kind of happen for you?
Sure.
And this was pre-pandemic, I'm assuming, correct?
Yeah. So it started talks pre-pandemic, but really, so the Pfizer vaccine wasn't really, or it wasn't approved by the FDA until I think December 11th of 2020. So I actually got this role in November of 2020. So they had already had some things in motion. We're already standing up distribution centers throughout the nation. And I had worked with a few folks in my recruiting past and basically just got a call. So I'd had some friends in government. My name got batted around and had some friends in staffing, and it all just kind of melted together. And I find myself working on this amazing project.
Okay. So actually, so it was kind of like the pandemic kind of did happen, and you just kind of, you got
the, yeah.
Was yeah, this something that you thought that you would be doing, though? Did you think that this is something you'd be ever doing?
No. So it's funny. So I started off as an on-site, I don't know, 13 years ago, you know, just a meager little on-site coming out of the music business. I don't know if you ever come out of the music business. I still like to dabble. But, you know, I was looking for an industry that had explosive growth, and staffing was it. So that's how I found it, right? That was Obamacare and a lot of ADA concerns. And there was a lot of things that were popping up that employers were really scared of. So temporary staffing was exploding. I jumped on that train and I rose pretty quickly to executive level, and then just had a lot of fun working with my original employer. And then I moved on to Amazon. I had a great 2-year run there. Can't say enough about that organization, actually, whatever your politics are.
You said Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they run it like a machine. And so then I got with FedEx and was running some 3PL for them here in Ohio. And, you know, been talking with folks about high-level DC distribution and metrics and all these fun little analytics and, you know, what I think is fun because I'm an analytical guy. But I never thought that, you know, I could be good at what I do in staffing and save lives. Like, quite frankly, you know, our team has a pretty strong mission of getting vaccines out there whenever they're ordered. We have a 99% delivery rate through our delivery partners, FedEx and UPS. And, you know, we get those things out there that save lives, estimated over 100,000 lives saved from vaccination.
And, you know, I believe that 100%. I do. I was somebody, you know, I support the vaccine. And I mean, but, you know, and it unfortunately that it has become a political topic. And I try not to make it political, because personally, like I said, the virus doesn't care who you vote for. But now I will say this. I will say there are some things that float around that you catch wind of and you're like, well, that really doesn't make sense. And this doesn't really make sense. And some things I'm not real comfortable about when it comes to especially medicine and then the capital market that our government, you know, our country runs with. Like it is a little creepy, and I'm being honest, it's a little creepy when you watch certain news medias and then you see sponsored by Pfizer. You know, it just kind of makes you think, what, you know, but you know, that's some things that we could definitely talk about if you want to. I am, like I said, I got the Moderna. So, you know, I haven't got my booster yet, but I'm planning on getting my booster. Are you getting your booster?
Yeah, you need to get your booster. I have mine already. So I'm 3 shots in on Pfizer, of course, you know, that there's, you know, I'm not a medical professional. I wanted to be, but I'm not. And so I'm not, you know, giving any advice out there, but the science is clear. I mean, you can search COVID facts and get some reliable sources out there, and they're gonna tell you that efficacy starts to wane after 6 months. So yeah, really you need to target that 6 month free booster. And you know, to touch on the original point, you know, politics are important in this country, right? They are important. They are real and they're important. And whether, you know, some people think that's a great part about this country and some people are fascists and think it's a terrible part of this country. But at the end of the day, it is unfortunate that politics wins the day over science on occasion. And in this case, I think that is also the case.
You know, the problem with, and people misunderstand the definition of science. What's science is a tool, is what science is. It's a way. It's a path. It's not a religion. It's not an opinion. It's, you know, we use science to find answers. And, you know, I don't know why people want to attack that, because it's, you know, I'm not sure, but I think it's we see firsthand the way, maybe there should be a little more push on teaching science in the schools, you know, instead of just making that volcano, you know, erupt science project, you know what I mean? Let's get a little more deeper too, you know.
I agree. You know, that's a big giant rabbit hole, and I'm not sure you or anybody else wants to go down right now with everything else going on, but education is surely a sore spot in this country for a lot of folks. You know, teachers really deserve to get paid, and we deserve to have an educational system that meets the aspirations of the people of this country, you know. And it's unfortunate that education is certainly lacking in what most people consider, you know, the greatest country in the world.
Well, you know, I'm one of these people. I think this is the greatest country in the world. Still, I do, even though we've got some really screwed up. We've screwed up a lot of things in the history in the past, a lot of things. But I'll be honest with you, I don't want to live anywhere else. You know, this is my favorite country. But now let's do this. Okay. So now I did see this study, and I just saw this recently. And by no means do I think this is for anyone who is on the fence about getting the vaccine still. If you are, I mean, come on, but I think you should get the vaccine. I'll tell you why I think you should, even if this, you know, this study, it turns out to be, you know, real in fact. But right now in Israel, they were kind of ahead of us on some things, and they were kind of like sort of like the guinea pig for the world when it comes to COVID and a lot of stuff. And a new study that I just saw today that says that natural immunity is starting to look like it's even stronger than being vaccinated. Now, let me back that statement up real quick. Even if that is the case, who in the hell would take rather, I would rather get vaccinated, get the damn virus, get a mild cold, and then get even double immunity if that's how it works, then not get vaccinated. Hopefully I don't die if I get COVID, you know what I mean? And now I've got this strong immunity. So you get what I'm saying, but I mean, have you heard any word about that though?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So one of our business partners, they live in Florida, and I think we all know that Floridians are, and I lived there for a couple of years, so I can't really talk too much, but you know, they're kind of adverse to, or maybe allergic to vaccines, but you know, their cases were dropping, and then variants come, and then more variants come. And to your point, Danny, this is about prevention, right? The best course of action is prevention, right? When you're talking about disease and virus, right? We just don't want to get it at all. There are reports of, you know, Omicron doubling and tripling every 2 and 3 days in the UK. It's pretty not, there's no if you get exposed, it's when in those areas. And those are just numbers, right? I can't make that up. I believe me, even though I work in vaccine, I have no dog in the fight. I truly just want people to be safe. And I want to save some lives. Like, I want people to just get educated. But prevention is the word of the day. And while we're there, let's talk about the pill. So 90% effective, right? The Pfizer COVID pill. And I think that's great. But again, that is on the backs of you getting the virus. You don't want it. Like, you don't, you can search any amount of videos or see news reports, and you know, folks that were vaccine hesitant just begging people, laying in their beds, like, you do not want this. This is awful. Please go get vaccinated. Almost begging people to go do it. So really, if you're on the fence, you know, fall towards the side of getting vaccinated. And if you're vaccine hesitant and or just unwilling to do it, you really do just need to do your part if you can, and you know, maintain your distance and your mask and do everything you can to keep yourself safe, because you're not getting it as one less opportunity for the virus to mutate and for you to pass it on. So.
Well, okay. This is also kind of where I stand on that. I think, first of all, I think all the excuses and cop-outs for people who have not got it is ridiculous. I don't know what's going in my body. I'm like, dude, you drink all this soda. You don't know what red dye number 8 is. You don't know what all this shit that you've been putting in your body for all these years. You eat Vienna sausages, you idiot. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, dude. You've been putting crap in your body for years that you don't know what it is. And the other thing I don't understand either is, like, the extreme right or the Trump conservatives. Even Trump got the vaccine. Trump was getting this vaccine fast track. You know, he was pushing all these things. And but, you know, so it doesn't make sense to me, people who are hesitant. Now, I do hear this a lot from mostly right conservative people. And I really don't think this is a right conservative issue either, because I kind of there's something that makes sense here with me a little bit, is they don't like the mandate part of this, Sevi. They don't like, you know, a lot of them love to go back and compare it to Germany, Nazi Germany, you know, let's see your papers, you know, type of thing. A lot of them like to do that. And I don't think it's that extreme. No, I do not. Nowhere near. But I don't know where I actually fall on this, because first of all, I wear my seatbelt everywhere I go. Okay. I think you're an idiot if you do not wear a seatbelt. Same time, I think you're an idiot if you don't have auto insurance. It's the law that you have to have auto insurance. They don't complain about that yet, though. They don't complain about, you should have a smoke detector in your house. You're an idiot if you do not. But I don't really understand completely why are they so hell-bent on, you know, the vaccine, something that has been proven to work. But at the same time, I will be honest with you, and this is the American in me, you know, I don't really like anyone telling me what the fuck to do.
So, you know, I'll say that I agree with you on that. So in no time in this country's history is the government forced the private sector to do this, right? So you may, you know, people sometimes talk to me about, you know, a lot of left folks talk about, you know, well, you have to have vaccines for your kids to go to school and they don't have a choice. You just take them to the doctor and they have to get vaccinated. And this is kind of the same thing. Well, it is and it isn't. At the end of the day, the mandate is the hardest pill to swallow, I think, to your point, right? Our Trump conservative friends, they found, you know, they found their champion, and their champion got vaccinated, right? And even advocated it in some places, and but still also advocated people's right to choose, those kind of things. And it's a right to choose for vaccine, but not for abortion. But that's another topic. I just think that it is. I think it's important for everyone to be educated, do their due diligence, right? Click on wacky podcasts like this, talk to people in the real world that see it and are part of it. And, you know, I could tell you that, you know, our team is super proud of what we do. We go out in the community and we try to help promote the best we can to get people into the jobs that we have open, right? I mean, that's a big thing. We want folks to come on board and help us distribute this vaccine. And that's really what I do. And that's really what my expertise is. But as an American like you, I'm, you know, the mandate for me, I know will save lives. It will. But do we balance that over our freedom? So that's been the battle in this country since its inception, right? You know,
and I think it's a combination. Well, right now, brother, this is, and we're living, this is some weird times. This is some really weird times. And I, man, I this is still me. And I, our government's not perfect by no means. Our system's not perfect by no means. But I still think it's the best thing that we can do. You know, I don't get me wrong. I was a Bernie guy when he first ran. I was a Bernie guy, and I knew Bernie wasn't going to show up in Washington and change everything to socialism. No, he was not going to do that. He was taking some of the good things about socialism, and he was going to try to fix it in this country that's been broken for a long time, like a federal, you know, student loan debt. Anyways, the biggest scam in the world, I'm going to say it right now, the biggest scam in this country is the, you know, the, just like even Elon said, it's pretty sad that an 18-year-old can't get a loan for $10,000, but he can turn around and get a school loan for like $80,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I mean,
that's wild. It took me till I was, I think, 39 to pay mine off.
You've paid yours off, though. Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But so I'm always for like anything you can do to help me with this school loan debt. Hell, man, I'll take it. But I would hear these backlash from these other, you know, these jerks would be like, well, I paid mine off. You should have to pay yours off. Well, you know what? Not everybody's situation is the same.
Yeah.
Silver spoon born prick. But
yeah, you ever do that analogy with folks that, you know, fairness and equality are two different things? You ever do that little map with the three different size boxes and the fence and the talk?
Oh, yeah.
And all that. You know what I mean? Fairness is not equality, right? So there are folks that have opportunities and folks that don't, right? I think the best part about Bernie was he was a humanitarian. I was a Bernie bro. I thought he was going to do tremendous things for this country. Again, another rabbit hole. You know, I think Hillary Clinton is the one that reversed progress in this country by about 40 years for women and people of color. But that's, again, crazy rabbit hole there.
Is a crazy rabbit hole, bro.
That is a crazy rabbit hole.
I'm not a Clinton fan. I'm not a Clinton family fan.
The chairman of the DNC had a vanity plate that said Hillary on it. If that doesn't show fixed from the get, I'm not sure what that's
exactly about. Exactly. And And don't get me wrong, man. I'd be all for having a woman president.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what sex you are. You could be, give me a gay president. Give me a transgender president. I don't care. You know, as long as you're doing your gig right, man, I don't care. Do it right. But Hillary, she was, I mean, come on, man. She was just too, I think her, she's crooked. Okay, that's, she's crooked. Bro,
I agree. There's a ton of death surrounding that family. There's a ton.
It's
of
just it. That's hard to ignore.
sexual scandals. We know, like it's that's those Clinton. That's a soap opera, regardless. Period in the story. But really? Yeah, I mean, do your job, right? I don't care, right? Yeah. On my team, I have a lot of diversity. I pride our team is very diverse and very proud of it, right? And I just think it's funny that, you know, some people will go through McDonald's and not get the right amount of cheeseburgers, and they'll curse someone that's making, you know, $12 an hour up and down, but the president, you know,
yeah,
can a bunker of babies, and they're like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do better next time. Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, I haven't been a fan in the past, and I'll be honest, I'm not a big Joe fan either. You know, I think it's ridiculous that we right now, our generation, we're Gen X, bro. It's ridiculous that someone from our generation is not representing
the
presidents. It's insane. It's boomers crazy. Have to get out. You got to get them out.
I'll take it one further. I'm an atheist, and you know, there are, you know, way more atheists than really any other segmented piece of religion, and we don't have any open representation. That's one of the great things I love about Bernie too. Even though he said he was religious, he never actually brought it in any of his conversations. But you know, why is that there? Why is there religion in schools and government? Why is that a political platform to be on? That to me is excruciatingly painful.
You know what? Okay, I say this all the time, and you know, I've said this for years. I've been screaming this for years. My biggest issue with the Republican Party isn't so much of some of their conservative beliefs. Some things I'm conservative on, man. Some things I'm like, yeah, we shouldn't be spending money on this. We shouldn't be, you know, but my biggest issue is that they fall dupe to the religious BS and people buy into it. And they think, oh, this politician's a good man because he believes in this. He's lying, first of all. But really, God, God's not a Republican. God's not a Democrat, you know. And then let's talk about like, you know, I mean, that just really bugs me, first of all. And something else, you know, like when you see a lot of sometimes when people see somebody who's homosexual who is a Republican, they'll be like, man, I can't believe that they're Republican. Well, actually, they should be able to be Republican because the only reason why you have your conservatives that would be against gay marriage is because they bring their stupid religion in this crap. Get your religion out of politics, okay? And social issues like that, you know, I mean, get it out. But anyways, okay, that being said, the atheist thing, I used to be an atheist, okay? And I got some real good close friends that are atheists. And I was converted, no longer an atheist, as of just, I mean, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And what I label myself now is, I always used to make fun of people when I would hear them label themselves this, but now I get it. I'm spiritual. Okay. And, I always...
Like hippies, right? Like with the flip flops and the, you know, the hair and got a little doobie and don't know what day it is and you smell really bad and but you're spiritual, man.
I am a spiritual person, and there's just too much for me that's just wide open. You know, there's too many. You know, I'm a firm believer in if you can imagine it, either it has existed, does exist, or can exist. So there's a lot of deep stuff happening there. And really, when you think about this, nothing against atheists, but, you know, I love atheists, and I hope one day we'll have an atheist president, you know, that doesn't drag religion into it. Same thing if you're a spiritual person, if you're if you're in anything, don't bring your beads and burning your incense and shit into the White House. You know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't want to see that either. But it's interesting that the way that still has an impact this day, yeah. You know. And yeah,
that just the critical thinking. I think you and I, you know, have had a few conversations in the past, and critical thinking, right? For me, it takes me down a path of atheism, of helping people as a part of who I am. Hell, I've had people tell me that I'm the most Christian person they know, and I'm an atheist, right? So I'm not, I'll judge for that. I'm not sure what that's all about. But I've got, I have a lot of things that go through my head, and I just wonder why, right? Why would you say that openly, right? It's, you know, the political, especially around gay marriage. I just remember so much political turmoil and almost hatred and vitriol towards gay couples. And it doesn't matter. Why does that? Does not matter at all what these folks, you're probably doing two lines of coke with Senator Brown, you know, in between sessions. And why are you worried about John and Steve over here in the corner having a little, you know, pillow fight? Why is that a problem? I never could understand that.
You know, I'll be honest, the day that I heard that Trump did win. Now, keep in mind, I was not a Hillary fan at all. But I was terrified. It wasn't Trump. I mean, don't get me wrong. Trump was kind of like, oh, my God, what's going on? But what terrified me was Mike Pence. And the reason why Mike Pence terrified me is because I have a gay son. And I want my child to have the same rights as everyone else's child. I want them to, you know, and that really terrified me. Because, you know, Mike Pence, it doesn't get any more religious and ultra conservative than Mike Pence, which is, you know, it terrifies me. Anybody who rules the office the way that guy, you know, he's like Old Testament. I mean, terrifying.
Yeah, I share that with you. So several, just have a diverse family as well. So I have some family members on the spectrum. I have some family members that choose alternative lifestyle. I have family members of color, and we've already gone through it, right? For the 46 years I've been alive, you know, love my family. Never in my 46 years have we ever had a family fight, right? So never been at the Thanksgiving table and had anybody yelling at each other. Just it's all love and it's great. But unfortunately, I've had to sit around that table and hear stories of discrimination, right? And pain and suffering. And it's real, right? And, you know, that I think, you know, for me, the white privilege is real. Like, I had to hear that. I never had to experience it, right? And having a leader that could be so far to the right and cause a significant impact onto our loved ones was scary for me. And it happened with President Trump. And it could have been, I think you're right, could have been worse if Pence was in office.
You know, and you know, this is another thing. Man. The problem with what we do now, the problem with American culture now is that we take one thing and we'll run extreme left with it, or we'll run extreme right with it. As long as that somewhat supports my agenda, I'm going to run over here with
it. That's my narrative. I'm going to use that.
Exactly. Exactly. And now let's, you know, bring up the word privilege real quick. Now, I'm friends with all kinds of people, people who don't look like me, people who have not the same experiences as me, you know, and I'm familiar with the different types of privileges that exist in this world. And, you know, a really good close friend of mine doesn't even like to use the word privilege anymore because the extreme left has ruined it, have ruined it, the same way, you know, the extreme right have ruined certain things, extreme left has ruined. So now, almost the word privilege doesn't really mean exactly where it started, you know. But there is a race privilege in this world. Does it mean that me and you don't work our asses off? Does it mean that we were handed anything? Does it mean, it just means that in certain situations we hold a certain advantage. Okay. Mm-hmm. And same thing, like one of my best friends, he is in a chair. He's been in a chair his whole life. Okay. I had no clue that this was his experience on a daily basis, but one night we were leaving, this is a few years ago, and we had gotten tickets to see the Nutcracker. I was doing like consulting with them, you know, backstage on some like magic and stuff. And we got to see the show, and we were all leaving on our way out to the parking lot. He looks over at me and he goes, "Well, I got to go back in." I said, "Why, man, what'd you forget?" He goes, "No, look, see where I'm parked?" And right next to his car, some asshole had pulled right into the little fire lane walk next to handicap parking. So he couldn't get in his van. He has a lift that comes out and puts him up. He could not get because some piece of shit parked so close to him, knowing that wasn't even a parking spot. But it's because they probably didn't want to walk their fat ass around, you know, around and into the building. So now he had to go back in the building and find someone to help him out in a place he's never been before, not familiar. Of course, me, I, Mr. Fix It All, you know how it is whenever one of your friends are, you know, of a disadvantage. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to move this thing over to
you. Son of a bitch, you know. And he was like, "Just chill out, dude." He goes, this is every day. He goes, "Don't worry about it." And I was thinking, my God, I couldn't imagine if I had to go into a place and find some stranger, a place I've never been, and, you know. But anyways, my point being is I was ignorant to that. And it's because I walk around every day. I never have that issue. So I'm privileged. I have a privilege. There's people who economically have privileges, people who have, I mean, there's religious privilege, you know. Mm-hmm. There's different privileges that exist. Now, that being said, now they've tucking it, though. The extreme left have tucking that definition, and they've ran with it, and they come up with things like people of color can't be racist. Bullshit.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And let me go one step further. So I have busted my tail, right? I've gone through a few different careers, and all of them I've done pretty well at. And now in staffing, you know, I've got this incredible opportunity before me. I love saving people's lives instead of selling toothbrushes. It's great. And I've worked really, really hard, and I've got a nice little home, and you can see my little man cave here, but I drive a couple decent cars, and, you know, I have people come up to me, and I have friends that just ask me for money. "Oh, you got it. You know, you're driving that. You're driving that Cadillac, you're driving that, you know, nice." I've got a couple of nice other cars I won't mention, but it's just, I don't know, people think I'm bougie or anything. But I worked really, 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 really hard for over a decade in this industry to get to this pinnacle. And I'm still climbing, I'm still striving, I'm still trying to get to that next level of my career. And, you know, even I look a little different, right? For an executive, people don't expect me to look like this. And so I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of people put their hands out to me. "Oh, you know what it is, dog. You know, you've been in this fight," or whether they recognize it or not, they just like, give me some money, right? And thinking that I'm privileged. I've worked my tail off for it. And quite frankly, I'm still making payments on it. So thank you very much. I'll keep my money.
And, you know, and I mean, you know, that's a whole, you know, talk about a rabbit hole. We could totally go down that rabbit hole. And, you know, and to some extent, you know, I'm not one of these people that I, you know, you have some of my more, and I don't even want to call them conservative friends. I think there's some rationality that goes along with a lot of the stuff that a lot of Gen Z and young millennials. It's almost a war to trying to think of the right word I want to use. It's almost in some ways attack on the norm and or what has always what has existed the past. And that's not the right way. That, you know, it's not the right way. And I don't want to be a victim, or I don't think I should be punished just based on the sex and the skin tone that I just happen to be born into.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what everybody wishes for. And unfortunately, you know, Jews were enslaved for thousands of years, and Blacks were ripped from their homelands and enslaved for 400 years here and throughout the world. Right.
But, you know, even with that is, you know, I always, first of all, I'm going to say this right now, and I will argue with anybody about this. There's no group, and this includes the Native Americans. There's no group that has been treated worse than the African Americans of in this Black people in this country. Yeah. And we're talking about overall history as a whole. No one. And now Native Americans, of course, there's a crazy history. The Trail of Tears is absolutely horrible. I'm not saying that any of those things weren't bad, but the history with Black people, it is horrible.
All right, you're back. I agree. I agree with you. I think, you know, the atrocities are out there. They're too many to count, right? I mean, we're talking about just any different sect or color. I mean, we're talking, you know, you could go Spanish Inquisition or like, I mean, yeah. It never stops. The way that humans will treat other humans is just inhumane. And that's, I'm going to go back to my critical thinking comment. Like, I want to be a critical thinker. Part of critically thinking for me is just understanding that humans are all the same. We all have feelings, but we need to care about each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and see, you know, I say that, but I'm also at the same time is I'm not a, you know, you have two different types of white people in this country when you start thinking about the history, the Black history in our country. You have the white people who can't, the white people acknowledge it, and either they go way overboard with their guilt, you know, like some of your extreme liberal whites. And me, I do carry white guilt, but I see it when I, you know, I can't watch, there's certain movies or certain things like I just can't watch because I'm like, gosh, I hate this. You know, this is just, this hurts me too bad to see this. And then you got the white people who are just like, you know, they won't acknowledge it at all. You know what I mean? And then that starts transforming into almost like a form of, you know, hate. You know, it's not so much as it's hate against, I think racism has different levels, you know, and most of it now is, you know, kind of circled around the, well, I didn't do nothing to you. You know, so I don't have to acknowledge anything that, you know.
It's just kind of born of anger, right? It's
born
of anger. And I tell you what, so I know where you live. I've been there a few times in and around that area, and it's SEC country. And I tell you what, I've met and caroused with a few. I think I met you half dressed in a tuxedo, running around a live music venue, clean shaven, trying to pull cards out of people's butts about 12 years ago. But I think, you know, you're right. Right. So I go down south right now. I travel a lot to, I travel south. I can't say exactly where, but I go down there for work quite often. And, you know, I don't see a lot of open hatred. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and obviously it's always been hidden. Right. So, understand African-American audience, I'm not saying that it's not there. I know it's there. I guarantee it's there. I've seen it in action multiple times. A lot of the groups that I traveled with as a sound engineer were African-Americans or had mostly African-Americans, Black folks in the band, Haitians. I mean, we had Dominicans. I mean, we had a lot of wild bandmates. And so I've seen it firsthand. I've seen people not get served, right?
That's
in the 2000s, I've seen people not get served because of their skin color. I've seen it. But at the end of the day, as I continue to travel around this country and see people and talk with people like you, yeah, there's levels. There's people that are angry just at the way it is and why it's not fair to me. Well, you're voting against your own interests, number one. And then, you know, there are folks out there that just hate based on what you look like or how you pee or who you have sex with.
Yeah. Well, and this is kind of, this is where I actually wanted to go, and it's my fault because I can go on this whole rabbit hole talking about race and racism and forever, really, I can.
Yeah, don't get in trouble.
When you, back to the vaccine, we'll pop back on the vaccine, is sure. I do know there was a high level of hesitancy in Black Americans with the vaccine, and it's the reason why is Black people have trust issues with the government in this country, and they have a damn good reason why.
Rightfully so, right?
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Have you seen, do you know if that is getting better or more Black people getting vaccinated?
So I don't have analytics for you. I can't give you metrics or data on it. I just don't have it, right? What I can give you is personal experience, and I'm happy to give just this quick story. And it's a tragic story, and maybe this will help people understand why maybe it's important to get vaccinated. But like I said, on my team, we work really hard, a pretty big team across this country, and a very diverse group. An older African-American lady, and she came into the project as a normal associate. And was very impressive. And I had the opportunity to meet her. And then I interviewed her and actually pulled her onto my team, elevated her up to a mid-level leadership position. And she did really well, right? So she worked her tail off. She understood the OSW population. She also, you know, understood the Black folks in there were vaccine hesitant, working in a vaccine facility, just shipping vaccines. So she was just confided in me one day, that she, she's really upset. I went to travel in and she hadn't seen her son in 4 months because he wouldn't get vaccinated. And he said that, his dad went into the hospital and there was government stuff and hospital stuff and just didn't trust anybody. And several months later, we're going through some of these clinics that we had, and we were actually attending one of these clinics myself and my team member, and I was standing right next to her when her son came up behind her and gave her a hug and said, "Mom, I'm going to go in and get vaccinated, so I can come over, for Thanksgiving and stuff." And she was crying, and I was weeping a little bit of a tear, and I sent the team out. A thing, and then the next day she passed away, and so she didn't get to have Thanksgiving with her newly vaccinated son and all these different things, and all that time wasted, all that time where he could have been going over to the house, and he never got that opportunity because he was just hesitant on getting the vaccine. And it was truly a tragic moment, but really poignant in the reason why I do this. I want to give everyone the opportunity to have the shot available in their neighborhood. If I can help do that, that's my mission. That's what I want to do. But whether you want to get it or not, I don't give a shit.
You just want to make sure it is available.
I want to make sure it's available. I'm not politically motivated. I'm gonna go back to I'm human motivated. But Bernie bro. Right. I just want to love thy neighbor. Right. and help as many people as I can while doing the job that I like doing, that I love doing, that I'm pretty good at. And really just I care about people. And so, maybe some of your listeners can take that story and try and understand that, it's not about you. Right. I mean, he's doing great. He's got his vaccines and could have had that done six months before and spent a lot more time with his mother before she passed, totally unexpectedly. So,
man, that is horrible.
Yeah,
that is. Well, And, you know, and like I said, I really I don't want to polarize my audience whatsoever. So if you are Republican or Democrat, you know, I love them, you know, I love you anyway. I do want you to get vaccinated, take care of your health, be careful. And at the same time, is I don't like being told what to do either. So I totally get it. But because you are on the staffing part, so you have to make sure that we have enough vaccines to go around for everybody. And we've got people to give the shots that need to be given, correct? That's kind of like what your main response is.
Yeah, basically the staffing and distribution side of it. So someone else makes sure that we have all the vaccines. Someone else makes sure that gets to the storage facilities. I make sure that once they're in the storage facilities, there's enough people to pick, pack, ship, administer, customer service. You know, or all those folks that are needed to distribute, that's my job in North America and for international shipping.
So what's your opinion about this? Because, man, I'm going to be honest with you, Sevi. I think there's going to be a new variant all the time now. I think it's just going to be a part of way of life, something that
how nature works.
Yeah, it's how nature works. Exactly.
That's how nature works. That's how the flu works.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. A lot of people say, you know, how did we get this so fast? And that's the number one, you know, so I debunk that usually if I'm talking with friends. Again, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but like you will find, it was so funny. They, you know, when coronavirus came out, they were had these pictures of Lysol cans with coronavirus on the back. We've always had it. It's a conspiracy. Yeah, we've always had a form of coronavirus. That's why we got the vaccine so quickly, you moron. So there was actually a lady that had been working on this forever and they said, nobody, this isn't deadly, get out of here. And so they ended up, picking this lady's research back up and said, here's actually a Nobel Prize for doing this work on that we fired you for 20 years ago because it wasn't important. Now it's the most important thing. So here you go. But that's how we got it so fast. Literally all of the data, everything had already been done. So our normal course of 2, 3, 4, 5 years to create a vaccine, that all that work had been done. Really, it just came down to trials and getting that squared away. So I really think it's important for people to understand that this is science-based. To your point, it is a tool. Get educated and get out there and understand what you're doing and hopefully that you'll get vaccinated. But what I do, you know, I make sure that the folks are there in the building and, you know, you guys have access to it.
Do you think though that this is, we're going to have to get like a booster,
endemic? You think that, so you're asking if it's an endemic. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to bounce around that question. Again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. My personal thoughts is it's an endemic. So, initial science, I have to look some of this stuff up in credible medical journals. About 10 years is what several different publications believe it might take for us to get down to some sort of flu-like immunity, where some people that are sick will probably still need to get vaccinated, but most of us can get a flu and be okay. They think maybe about 10 years. So there is hope that Omicron is you know, less deadly. There are, in initial studies, a few less folks on oxygen and intubated, but at the end of the day, it's like 3 times more transmittable than Delta, which is 3 times more transmittable than the original. So it's yet to be seen. I mean, if someone that's immunocompromised or has a lung issue or has been smoking for 20 years like me gets even a lesser form of COVID, it's going to be deadly. And really that's what vaccination is all about. 1,100 people die every single day in this country. 1,100 people die every day. If you say, this guy had cancer, he probably wouldn't live another 6 months with cancer. He died this week because he got COVID.
Yeah.
That's why he died. Was he sick? Sure. Or was he this? And yes. So people think those skew the numbers. No, those are accurate numbers. That's what happens when people have a cause of death from a doctor. You know, they're not trumped up. If they didn't have that cause of death, it wouldn't be on the death certificate.
Well, let me ask you this, because this was, how do you feel about this? Okay, like we are at a point now and that people who want to get the vaccine can get the vaccine. And basically, people who are going to get the vaccine have already gotten it. And the people who are not going to get it probably are not going to get it.
So here's the problem. I don't know where you're getting to, but let me just stop you right there, because this is, I get to this with a lot of folks, actually, personally and professionally. It's like 70% of our population has been fully vaccinated, right? Fully vaccinated. Only 27% have a booster. And we know after 6 months, it's over. You might as well not be vaccinated at all. So if you're not willing to commit to getting vaccinated every 6 months for the next 10 years, you're going to have a bad time. That's all I can tell you.
Gotcha. So for the next 10 years, we need to look into getting these boosters.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it's an endemic. Like, all the science will say nobody knows. And I don't know. I just feel like that's for me personally. You know, gotcha. I am planning for myself and my family to do this for as long as it takes. And some initial reports are about 10 years for it to get to a level that isn't crazy deadly.
Gotcha. You know, and I'm kind of with you on that. Like I said, I support it and I don't have a problem. I haven't got my booster yet, but actually we're planning on getting our booster next week. If somebody like me, you know, I'm around crowds constantly and I'm around a lot of people. So, you know, I do need to protect myself. I don't know how I feel about a lot of the thing they were saying, you're protecting other people from vulnerable people getting sick. I think it's you need to take your health is your personal responsibility you need to take, you know, and, you know, I'm getting it and my family got it to take care of themselves. But you know, and I'm kind of with you, dude. I think it's going to be around. I don't think it's going to go away. And I think this is going to be a common thing that we're going to have to do, in order to, you know, it not take us out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a significant pain in the tail. I'll be the first one to admit it, right? I want to go, you know, hug people and go to concerts. I mean, I DJ every once in a while. I want to go out and spin records again and be in a sweaty, dusty, drug-filled room with crazy lights and have people cheering and just have a blast. I want to do that again at some point. You know, I get reminded quite often by my significant other, I'm too old to do that now, but it's still pretty fun every once in a while. But it's just, I mean, if you look at what we have, if you look at our transportation system and what we have and our wealth and think about back when this was Spanish flu, right? And, you know, almost 100 years ago and people were dying left and right and all these different, you know, they would have killed for it. They'd have been like,
oh yeah,
line me up. Give me whatever you want. I've already have enough hardships in my life. I can't pay bills. I'm dying out here. I'm living in tents. You know, for the most part, we're in a pretty good society. And if our biggest inconvenience is we have to go get a booster every 6 months so we can keep our family safe and hopefully maybe some of our coworkers and our closest friends and maybe go out to dinner every once in a while, that's not so freaking bad.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, man. And like I said, I want to keep living my life. I've, you know, 2021 overall has been a good year for me. And, you know, professionally it has been, because 2020 was a hellhole for everyone. And especially in the entertainment business, everything just stopped and I literally had nothing, you know? I'm just glad and blessed to be back to work in 2021 and I want to keep doing so. So I'm getting a booster. Let's change subject here completely. Here we go, Seth. Sure. We've been talking some deep stuff here, bro. We've been talking politics and vaccines. Let's talk about mind reading. You believe in mind reading, Sevy?
Not at all.
He's an atheist. That's right. He doesn't believe in anything, folks. He doesn't believe in nothing fun. That's right.
Scientific atheist. Yes,
well, we're gonna try this. We're here on the Abracadam podcast, bro. The Abracadam podcast. We're gonna get down and try to read your mind. And you got to be honest, man. You may not believe in mind reading, but everybody's got that one crazy aunt. You know what I'm talking about? That one aunt that might be a little, you know, like, I don't know how she knew I was thinking bananas, but she just knew it. Let's do this. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna hold some cards up. And I want you to look at one of these cards, and I want you to think of one of these cards. Get it inside your mind. Just one of them. Let me know when you got it.
I got it.
You got it. Okay. Don't forget it, okay? Because if you forget it, I sound like a dumbass to everyone all over the world listening to this podcast, all right? Especially you, Russia. I hear you, Russia. I see you listening, Russia. I don't know. A lot of people in Russia have been listening. And I love you. Keep listening, please.
Then get a vodka sponsor.
Absolutely, I need a vodka sponsor. I love vodka. Here we go. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's mix them up in the deck here. I'm gonna try to cut the deck here. Hold on. I'm going to give it a shot, Mr. Seve. You know what, man? I'm going to cut right here. I'm okay. Obligated, bro. Now, here's the thing, guys. I have cut the deck, and I'm obligated. I cannot get out of this. I cannot get out of this whatsoever. Mm-mm. Seve, for the first time since we're an audio podcast, for the first time, what was the card that you were just thinking of?
Seven of spades.
Seven of spades. Ladies and gentlemen, I cut the deck at one place, one card only. I'm going to make a believer out of you, Seve. The seven of spades.
Not possible. I switched my card five times. Not possible.
Now, let's get religious here on you, Seve. If you want to know how I did that, I sold my soul to Lucifer, okay?
I'm with it.
Lucifer was like, it was at the crossroads, and he goes, Danny boy, would you like $1 million for your soul? I said, no, sir. I want to do card tricks. And while you're at it, make me 5'6" and throw in some red hair, can you?
Yeah.
And we had us a deal. So there you go, bro. You've been abracadabra.
You're a winner. You're a winner, my boy, Danny, any and every day.
Well, let's do this, okay? Because like I said, man, we've been talking some deep stuff, all right? We've been talking, we've talked religion, we've talked politics, race, and the vaccines.
Let's, topics.
You know, well, I should have asked you to prepare for this because you are a former, you know, you've been in the entertainment world.
Yeah.
And normally all the entertainers that I bring on here, I bring comics, magicians, and actors and all kinds of people on here all the time. Always have them tell a hell gig story. Seven.
I got one.
Well, let's hear it, bro. Let's hear a hell gig story, my man.
Boy, I'll think while I'm telling the story about if I'm going to name the band or not. People will know this band. I had been an owner of a live music venue with a couple of friends of mine for a while, and we started getting some bigger acts. This was in Sandusky, Ohio. I think you may have been there before at the Underground. I'm not sure, but we were doing really cool stuff, right? And we hooked up with this group called Critical Bill out of Detroit, and they in turn hooked us up with Tech Nine, who they were we're touring with quite often. So got an opportunity to work with Tech a lot and his team. And I mean, that whole Strange Music team is amazing, right? I mean, Travis O'Gon is, you know, a professional and I just love the way that they do their thing. And so that opened us up to some other bands. And we had a group pull up. I still decided whether I'm going to name them or not. So we had a group pull up. The first thing they did when they pulled up was throw their trash out onto our sidewalk and shut the door and proceed to sit there for about 30 or 40 minutes. And then they started trickling in. And it turns out they were like, oh, our drummer has a hurt foot. And so the drummer came down and like he couldn't take it. He ended up calling a doctor. So he grabbed one of my bar backs and sent him out to go get his prescription. So I was down and I had people like lining up around the block to kind of see this fairly big group in a smaller town. We go ahead and we pull up, we go to do the sound check and they basically kick the monitors off the stage. They said, these aren't going to work. And so I had to load up my guy in $500, send him to Cleveland to pick up another set of monitors and get back before the show. We had about, so we dialed in the rest of the system. We tested the monitors about 10 minutes before. Well, actually, it was 10 minutes before their show time. But because we had to go get the monitors and bring them back, we literally had to put all of them in we had to just get patrons in the building and go around back. And so we had to scrape all of the opening acts. Whoa. They had to play after because they were so bougie, they wouldn't do that. Then they ended up, they went like $700 bar tab on a $100 bar tab and refused to pay it. When they left, they dumped three more bags of trash out, like upside down in the lawn out front of our place. So
what a bunch of douches. Okay, you have to say who are these douchebags?
That was Drowning Pool.
Drowning Pool, you big sack of shits. Drowning Pool. Screw you, Drowning Pool. I hope you trip over a cactus and get yeast infection.
That was the abridged version of 12 Hours of Hell for me as the production guy.
Oh man, dude, that's horrible. Man, I hate that crap, dude. It's
second awful. Worst. Second worst for all you religious folks out there, Striper.
Oh man,
horrible! I can't even tell that story, and that you know there still be a Christian religion.
I always think that's weird, man, that they have the Christian rock bands and Christian. Remember Christian rap there for a little bit too. Remember that?
It's still out there. Like there's mainstream artists doing gospel rap, and people are just like, yeah, man, this is fire. And I'm like, you know this gospel, right?
Do any of the other? I don't think any other religions do that. There's not like is there Muslim rap or Muslim rock or?
You know what? It's a good question. I haven't looked it up, but I think I'm duty bound to do so now.
Oh, that's funny, dude. Well, I tell you what, man. You know, I've enjoyed this, dude, and I know we could talk. We could probably sit down and knock one for 2 hours, bro. Man, I love seeing you do this. Really, I do, man. And gosh, I hope things get better for all of us. And somewhat semi-normal. If I've got to get a shot in the arm every 6 months for the next 10 years, whoop-de-doo, as long as I get to freaking live a life, I'm happy. I tell you what, Sebi, brother, I appreciate you for coming on the Abracadam podcast, man. It's been a blast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Danny. Much success to you, your family. You know, I know your family, beautiful. I know you're so talented.
Please keep going.
I think we've both come a long way since we first met, and much continued success to us both. And I share your sentiments. Let's do what we need to do to continue to strive towards that normalcy for everyone in this country, so everyone can prosper.
Amen. That was an atheist amen, but amen, a spiritual amen.
That's my next gig. I wanted to start literally an atheist church. So all the money, and I wouldn't have to pay taxes. And literally, it's just like pool tables and like wine and beer, and like just it's like a hangout room. You pay dues. I don't have to pay taxes.
That's sad. I'm on board with that. Definitely.
Right on.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Appreciate you.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Sevi. He is such an awesome guy, and it's always fun to catch up and talk with him. And also, you know, I think it's super cool what he's doing right now, help getting that vaccine out there for the people who need it and people who want it. I think that's great. I strongly support that. I really do. If you guys have not done so yet, be sure to subscribe and follow the Abracadam podcast. Tell your friends, let people know about it. We have a lot of awesome guests in store coming up for 2022. Also, quick show date. Next Friday, I will be at the Grove Theater in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, right here in my hometown, baby, with the very funny Shelly Belly. We're going to be bringing the laughs in for 2022. You can get tickets online at brownpapertickets.com, or you can buy them at the door. I guess that's it for now. So, like always, Abracadamets, thank you for listening.